Good morning.
Good morning.
Allison and William are getting up and heading downstairs. So if you have kids to send down to Children's Church, go ahead and get them on their way now. We'll see how this works. I may go back to paper next week. I'm still scared. So we are looking at Psalm 55 today. And Psalm 55 is interesting because it is two types of psalm together. One, it's a maskil, which we talked about that earlier. That's an instructional psalm. It shows us how to do something. The other type of psalm that it is an imprecatory psalm. And that is a psalm that quite literally asks God to do harm to your enemies. So this psalm is teaching us how to ask God to do harm to our enemies. That doesn't sound, well, we're going to need to look at this, I think. Last week I used the message. This week I'm using another different translation for what I'm going to read from the pulpit. It's the International Children's Bible. That's going to be interesting to see how we handle an imprecatory psalm there. Now, as David writes this psalm, we need to remember that this is him writing about the betrayal of a very, very close friend. This is a betrayal that is deep, and we'll see that as we go through the psalm by words that he uses to describe the friendship and how he talks about this person and who, what they meant to him. Most likely, this is coming from a time when Absalom, David's son, has rebelled, and the person that is with him in this rebellion that David is probably most closely thinking about as he writes this is Ahithophel, who is his trusted advisor, his dear friend, and who read the political room and said, "Whoa, you know, the city is going with Absalom, and I really like my position, and this is not the place for me to stay. I'm not going to stay by David's side. I'm going to go, and I'm going to support Absalom." And this man who was in many ways like a brother to David has gone, and as his son is turning on him, turns on him as well. Think about that. Think about in your own life a time, maybe you haven't dealt with this, maybe you have, a time where you have had someone who you depended on, who you trusted, that in some way disappointed you, turned their back on you, or outright started doing things against you. Think about how you feel in those circumstances. Turmoil, despair, pain, anguish, fear. Add to that, think about all of the psalms that we've looked at before where David has said, "I want to face this unrighteous act head on. Give me the strength to do this, God." And in this psalm, he doesn't say that. He says, "God, I want to run away and hide." The David of his youth is not the David who is writing this psalm. This is a man who has seen war. This is a man who has experienced death of close friends, who has caused the death of close friends, and who has felt the pain of that. He's a changed man, still a man who seeks to do God's will, seeks to be after God's heart, but it's not the David that has written before. This is a David who in some ways is broken, who is hurt, and is scared. Think about that. David, who fought Goliath, David, who has done so many things, who we hold up as this Superman. And he is scared, he is hurt, and he wants to run away from his problem, something that he has never wanted before in his life. Sometimes we come to that point. Sometimes we come to the point where we have so much that we just cannot deal with it anymore, and we want to get away. And Scripture here in Psalm 55 shows us that sometimes that is okay. Sometimes we have to get away. But what it does for us also is it shows us how to get away while not running from God. Because that's the last thing that we need to do when we're feeling like that. So we have to figure out how to express our anguish to God over the situation. We have to figure out how to express the concern that we have for justice, because what David is calling out to have punished is not something that is being done against him. It's something that's being done against God's city, against God. And then we also have to figure out how to express our confidence in God. Now, the first thing, to express our anguish to God. Now, sometimes when I go through and I look for things for slides, it's really easy. And this was one of those that was really easy because I saw this work of art and I was like, wow, that's just, you probably can't see it. That is formed out of bicycle chain. And it's called Anguish is the title of the piece. And I saw it and I was just like, it's perfect. How do we express anguish to God? How do we take, and what we see in the first 8 verses of this psalm, how do we tell him what we're feeling? How do we express the pain and the agony of some terrible thing that has befallen us in our lives? Well, 1 through 8 from the International Children's Bible. God, listen to my prayer. Do not ignore my prayer. Pay attention to me and answer me. I am troubled and upset by what the enemy says and how the wicked look at me. They bring troubles down on me. In anger, they attack me. I am frightened inside. The terror of death has attacked me. I am scared and shaking. Terror grips me. I said, I wish I had wings like a dove. Then I would fly away and rest. I would wander far away. I would stay in the desert. Now here's something that isn't in the NIV. Selah. Remember, that means a pause or a rest, a time of reflection possibly. I would hurry to my place of escape, far away from the wind and storm. David starts out by asking God not to ignore him or abandon him. When we are betrayed by someone or feel like we've been betrayed by someone, the first thing that we should be doing is asking God to give us assurances that he's not the one abandoning us. We know that he's not going to abandon us. But when you have someone shake your world and turn on you, you question a lot of things. And so the first thing that we need to do is, as we express this anguish, we have to say, God, I know you're not going to leave me, but don't leave me, God. I need you. And David does this in so many ways. He uses give ear, don't hide, attend to me, hear me, answer me. All these different words that say simply, pay attention to me. Just like a kid. Just like a kid coming to a parent needing their reassurance. Remember, that's what we're doing. We're going to our father, and asking for him to reassure us. Tell him how you want to get away from the situation. Tell him how you want to have it lifted off of you. David wanted to get away because he couldn't find rest. He couldn't find peace in where he was. He was hurting and he was scared. And he didn't know who he could trust around him anymore. He'd been in situations where he knew that there were people that he couldn't trust, but he'd always had a small group of people that surrounded him that he knew were always on his side, and now he doesn't have that. His support structure is broken. And so he goes to God, and we should do the same, and he tells God what it is that he needs. The amazing part of this psalm is that it reminds us we have the ability to do this. We, as Christians, have the ability to go to God and pour out our troubles and tell him how hurt we are, what we're struggling with, and how he can help us to overcome those struggles. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? If I was Patrick, I'd probably be singing this. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. We sing hymns, admonishing ourselves to bring things before God. Do not give up that powerful tool. When you are hurting, when you are scared, when you don't know what to do and you just want to get away, talk to God. Tell him where you need him to work in your life. Again, David, up until now, he's been ready to say, okay, God, you are going to give me strength, and we are just going to power through this problem. We're going to push it out of the way. You're going to destroy it, obliterate it using my arm, and everything is going to be fine. And now he wants dove's wings to fly away and to get out of this. Sometimes we get to a point where we realize, and we should realize this all the time, that powering through something isn't always going to fix it. And that's what David is realizing at this point. He's realizing, God, you've done so many things using me, but now I realize that using me physically is not going to fix what is broken right now. So as we express our anguish, the next thing that we have to do is to express our concern for justice. Now, yeah, it's a picture of a brain. That's kind of weird, right? There are actually medical studies now that are showing that the concern for justice is not an emotional response. It's not emotional. It is something that we intellectually think about, and it's not driven by just pure emotion. So as we express our concern for justice, we don't have to feel like that is just an emotional reaction to something bad that's happening. It can actually be us looking for and having a concern for justice because we know that justice is what God wants. Justice is what God is concerned with. So This is where it starts to become the imprecatory, David asking for things to happen to people. Now, in verse 9, it's 9 through 15. We'll look at 9 through 11 first. Verse 9, Lord, destroy and confuse their words. I see violence and fighting in the city. Day and night, they are all around its walls. Evil and trouble are everywhere inside. Destruction is everywhere in the city. Trouble and lying never leave its streets. So what does David ask God to do first? Confuse. He asked the first thing that he prays to God to do is to confuse and frustrate the wicked people. Just like what God did with the Tower of Babel. He confused the languages so that they couldn't work together. David says, he doesn't say break them. He says, destroy and confuse their words. Make it so that they can't work together easily to do what they are doing. The words that are used here, mischief describes activities evil, sinful, worthless. The word that's translated as sorrow, trouble, abuse, it refers to causing trouble and hardship for other people. David is hurt by the fact that his friend has betrayed him, but he is still more concerned with the fact that this is happening to the people of Israel. He is more concerned that God's children are being abused by this situation than he is about his own hurt. If you've been hurt by somebody close to you, you have to tell God about what has happened with your friend. You have to share with God how they have hurt you. David says in verse 12, it was not an enemy insulting me. I could stand that. It was not someone who hated me. I could hide from him. But it is you, a person like me. You were my companion and good friend. We had a good friendship. We went together to God's temple. This is someone who he worshiped with. This is someone that David shared his deepest secrets, his deepest fears, someone who was like family to him. They were very close companions, best of friends. They shared experiences in battle, in ruling, in leading. And now, David sees this man who is like him, no longer by his side, but facing him across a spiritual field of battle, if not a physical. And so the next part is that David asks for it to be swift. It's someone that you care about. You want resolution to this now, not later. Especially if, as we're looking at it from our own eyes, if it's one of my friends who's a Christian and they've turned on me in this way, I want to see that they are broken so that they can return to God. I want to know that they have that right relationship with him. And I don't want to wait for that. And David doesn't either. He says in verse 15, let death take away my enemies. Let them die while they are still young, because evil lives with them. Now, we don't have to ask for their death, but why would we want to wait for resolution to this? Why would we ask God for these things to break their hearts, to bring them to repentance, and wait for it. It's still going to be in God's time, but I want to see resolution now. I don't want to see it 10 years from now. We're made in God's image, and we get upset with injustice. We get upset when we see people who are not being treated correctly. We get upset when we see people who are not treating others correctly, who abuse the system, who are living in ways that we know are not right. Sometimes we can say something directly and help to affect change there, but at other times, nothing that we say or do is going to change what's happening. And so, if we are able to take time and express our desire for justice to God and put it in His hands, we've actually done something. We've sought resolution to the problem that we see. God may not be able to use us physically to fix what is wrong, but in a spiritual battle, we can still use our reliance on God, use our relationship with God to effect change. It doesn't always have to be our arm doing the work. That's what David is learning here. It doesn't have to be my brute force that gets this done. My prayer can be just as effective as my service. The next thing that we have to do is to express our confidence in God. When we look at creation and see something like a photo that's certainly photoshopped, and we see the Milky Way galaxy laid out before us, and we think about God's creation and everything that He has done, the placement of the planet that we live on, the placement of everything around us, perfectly aligned, so that if even a couple of feet difference had happened, we wouldn't be here right now. How can we not have confidence in a creator that powerful and that wise? So we need to express that confidence. We have to have confidence that God will save us. David expresses that confidence. But I will call to God for help, and the Lord will save me. Morning, noon, and night, I am troubled and upset, but He will listen to me. Many are against me, but He keeps me safe in battle. David has been through so many physical battles with God, and God has kept him safe. God has delivered enemies into his hands. God has provided other people who have avoided conflict for him and brought him victory through their words. And now David is confident that even as he is fighting a spiritual battle, that God is going to continue to give him victory, and God is going to continue to protect him and cover him in this spiritual battle, just like he has in physical wars. Do we have that same confidence? Do we have the confidence that if God is not using me physically to fix things, that He is still working through me to make things right and to bring about his glory. We need to express a confidence that God rules forever. He is the great judge, and he will humble those who oppose him. David says, God who lives forever will hear me and punish them, but they will not change. They do not fear God. Here's another Selah. We may believe that people are not going to change. We may believe that any of our actions or words or prayers are going to be ineffectual because the person is set against God. Still pray. Still ask God to intercede for that person. Because we don't know. We may believe it with all of our heart, but there is no one that God cannot bring back to himself. There's something that will break every person and cause anyone's knee to bow to God. Your prayer might be that thing. Continue to talk and share with God in faith, trusting that he is going to lift you up, that he is going to answer what you ask. We have to have confidence that God is going to sustain us, that he's going to carry our burdens, and that he is willing to do that. The one who was my friend attacks his friends. He breaks his promises. His words are slippery like butter, but war is in his heart. His words are smoother than oil, but they cut like knives. Give your worries to the Lord. He will take care of you. He will never let good people down. But God, you will bring down the wicked to the grave. Murderers and liars will live only half a lifetime, but I will trust in you. Remember, we've talked about this. David says murderers and liars will live only half a lifetime. Such was he. But he now lives trusting in God. We may have come out of very difficult circumstances. We may have lived lives that separated us from God. But if we are living as a Christian now, that's not who we are. It's no longer the person that we should aspire to be. And so, like David, we can see the injustice of others, and it may be injustice that we in our past lives have done ourselves. But we can still ask God to break those hearts just like he broke our heart and showed us how we needed to be mended. Now, does God want us to carry an unbearable load ourselves, to walk a path that he is unwilling to be on with us? He doesn't. He doesn't. If you're having problem answering that rhetorical question, he does not. Because the road that he wants us to be on, while it is not an easy road, is a road that is filled with brothers and sisters who are going to carry loads with us. And it's a road that has been opened by God himself. So when we face trouble like David did, whether it's in our youth or as we mature. We need to face those troubles as David did here. He wanted to run away from them. He didn't want to fight anymore. He didn't want to fight with his friend. So he brings to God the anguish that he feels. He brings to God the concern for injustice that he has. He asks for these things to be stopped. And then he puts his trust in God and tells him, I believe that you will do this. As Christians, this is how we should approach the world around us. It's terrifying. We can have conversations and talk about how there really are very few good neighborhoods anymore. It's hard to find places where crime doesn't touch us. And so we can run from that, and some choose to do that, or we can turn and we can face what the world is with prayer. Ask God to break the things that need to be broken so that they can be fixed. As Christians, that's what we need to do. Look for the courage to do that. Lift up the situations that you see around you that are broken and ask God to either break them further or to fix them. And ask him to do it soon. If you're a Christian and you are experiencing pain from the loss of a friend because of betrayal, if you are experiencing the loss of a friend because they've turned their back on God and not on you, let us know about that. I want to pray with you about that. I want to lift that up to God with you. If you are not a Christian and you see the world around you and you know that it's not right, you see your life and you know that there's something wrong, come and talk with me. Come and talk with Troy or with Ken or with Patrick. Let us pray with you. Let us help you as you wrestle with what it is that is wrong in this world and what is broken in your life. It took me a long time to do that. If you are hurting, if you are broken, this church is here to pray for you. This church is here to help and lift you out of whatever it is that is pulling you down. If you need prayer, if you need to be encouraged, please come and talk with me now as we stand together and sing.